January 31st, 2024, the called. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Matthew 10:1-4. So far from the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 to now, Matthew has laid before us the proof of Jesus' authority. We've seen it so much. And he's shown us his teaching was authoritative and his healing was authoritative. And by now, you and I, and whoever reads the Gospels, should be well convinced. But now the focus is going to shift to not just the Lord as authoritative, but now he will send out messengers who also become authoritative. We are going to go on a short-term mission trip here in chapter 10. A mission trip that is to the people of Israel. But first, we need to see the team, the apostles. Now, these are Jesus' special representatives, the ones that will go on from here and witness the rest of the ministry of Christ on earth. And then, as we follow them, we'll go on to establish the church and write what we now have as the New Testament. Now, Peter, James, and John will be the ones who appear closest to Jesus. If you read 1 John, you'll hear him talk about himself as the one whom Christ loved. So this is the inner circle. And James is John's brother. They're both sons of Zebedee. You can read that story, how they left their father and followed Christ. And of course, Peter, we read about him walking to Jesus on water. And then how he later denied Christ. We will go over that. We also have Thomas, which is most known as Doubting Thomas. And of course, our friend Matthew, who wrote Matthew. But for the sake of time, I'll leave the rest to address as we move through the Gospels. Now, we also see that the occupations of the 12 and the backgrounds are diverse. We had fishermen, tax collectors, and the sorts. We had a zealot, which is a revolutionary kind of guy. But mainly, we have rough men. And I love this about Christ. He takes the least likely and uses them to do extraordinary things. But there's something more to see with this list, and that's the noticeable traitor of the group. He's here, and he's pointed out before anything takes place. Before we read any more, he's pointed out, and the obvious about this must be addressed. So, Judas Iscariot. Jesus chooses him to be a part of this group. This is interesting because Jesus knows all things about every man. He knows me, he knows you, he knows our mothers, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles. He knows past, present, future. He knows the character and the intention, and he knew Judas would betray him. Be sure that the lesson is plain. Not everyone who claims Jesus or leads the church is necessarily one who loves Christ and is saved. We must be warned here. And also, be sure that just because they are in our service doesn't mean they aren't capable of the worst evil. And men often look like they are helping, serving, being a part of the group. But again, everything is laid bare before the Lord. Just because they appear pretty doesn't mean they are pretty. In fact, it even says Satan comes as an angel of light. So, we read a while back to beware of false teachers or wolves in sheep's clothing. This is the case with Judas. This was pointing to Judas and to all the other false teachers and the false converts that are in our congregation. And this is a sobering reminder for us to not pretend and prepare to be hurt by those who seem genuine, which can explain a lot of your church hurt, because some men, and maybe even a lot of men in church, seem like Christians, but are not. They're self-deceived. So when you have church hurt, it's not guaranteed that this happened from a fellow Christian. So if we love Christ, then we love Christ. But if not, the lesson is plain. We will be found a traitor also. He knows. There's no pretending to be a Christian. It's plain. You might pretend for others, but you can't pretend for Jesus. And we must pray for those who we meet in our meeting places, our church buildings. We must be cautious of the men we call members, even the ones we call leaders. And this requires a lot of prayer and discernment. It also pushes us to test every man before he's considered elder, lest he devours the sheep or wounds the fold. But the lesson is clear. Not all is as it seems in our congregations, just like not all was as it seems in the apostles. They all did extraordinary things, even Judas. But at the end, Judas was found to be a traitor. So we must cling to Christ and embrace what these men embrace and learn from them. Christ gave them great authority and a large task that has greatly affected the world. So let us listen to them as we keep reading, and let us love Christ and embrace Him as our treasure. And with this, let us have a happy Wednesday.